This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
We now have on the phone our next guest. We have Asan Gelsey, and I asked Asan about his first name, but Gelsey, let's just hope I got it right. Welcome to the show, Asan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. Now, Asan, you are obviously got a show that's coming up at the Melbourne Town Hall. But before we actually talk about that, maybe just wouldn't mind getting a little bit of background on you. Where did you sort of get started in the
music?
And how, you know, how did the love of that come about, basically?
So, well, I suppose I've been musical since I was a child. I'm the product of, you know, the great things that a state school music education can offer. I grew up in a little town called Castlemaine in central Victoria.
Ah, that little town, which is so famous nowadays.
It's very popular these days. Yeah. It was a bit different in the 80s.
I bet you.
And my mother is very musical, and so I was just surrounded by instruments and music all my childhood. And got into the classical program fairly early. I was originally a violinist, and it just hooked me, I suppose. It's been my longest enduring relationship with music, and right. You know, it evolves through your lifetime.
Yeah, of course. But it's interesting that you said through the state schools. I thought it was more private schools that you would have, got the best help.
No, it was a wonderful thing. Winters Flat Primary School, at the earliest opportunity, they will just stick an instrument in your hand.
Brilliant.
And give you every opportunity. And it was just so great, you know, that you can be moulded from an early age and have that kind of opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get your instrumental lessons and you work in the ensembles and so on. And it just resonated with me. Straight away,
fantastic.
You know, I knew that this was what I wanted to do. If not for a career, then at least for leisure.
Yeah, yeah. And so, what happened when you left school? Did you come into Melbourne and do the obvious uni course?
Yes, it was the path well travelled, straight from Castlemaine to, you know, not. I was a terrible student at anything I ever put my mind to.
Well, apart from music,
Yeah. A few lamentable years at La Trobe University, but all the while staying very musical. And so in my early 20s, I got pretty involved in the electronic music scene.
Right.
And had a duo who we were active for a number of years and travelled Australia quite a bit and the world.
And what's your name? Center. What was your name?
We were called Bubble and Squeak.
Right. I know. Yeah. I remember Bubble and Squeak. I definitely remember them.
Yeah, we were all over Clubland back in that golden era.
And Asan, how did you go from classical violinist to sort of Clubland electronica? But is that just a love of that type of music, or
people have asked me about this before, and I've spoken about it. They're much more similar than you would think.
Oh, really?
I think they're both, you know, they share technicalities in common. And electronic music and the synthesizers and the electronic instruments, which is really where my love is, share a lot in common with just deep technical knowledge, the construction of music. Writing music on a computer has a strong connection with notating music and all of the different dynamics and feels that you can conjure with a traditional instrument in that orchestral setting. Really have strong parallels in the world of electronic music.
Mm.
Okay, it's a little more repetitive, and, you know, there's the common theme of the four-to-the-floor kick drum and so on, but I think they're more similar than they appear at first glance.
And what about music writing, you know, like being a writer? How easy did that come for you?
Well, again, I think this is just all the influence of my mother, where my life is kind of a little bit sound of music, or the sound of music, you know, with sort of improvised.
Oh, so you're running up that hill where the jail was, singing "The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music." Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I think that there's kind of a constant backing to my life, and I can always just tune in to the musical theatre that's happening there. There's always a song, there's always a routine, and you know, any event in life can sort of be put to song, I think.
Yeah.
And any conversation can be sung with anybody. So the compositional streak, I suppose that's probably just a wandering imagination.
Yeah.
And an active mind. But it's always come fairly naturally. And, you know, I've evolved out of clubland, I suppose, mostly these days. I don't make dance music any longer. I play a lot of progressive rock.
Right.
And really have become a keyboard player more than a violinist these days. But yeah, the compositional side, and of course with music technology being so available now, you don't need a bunch of people to write with any longer. You can do it alone, and you can build big, grand compositions just in front of your laptop with a keyboard.
Now, well, talking about that, you've used the grand organ at Melbourne Town Hall. What are you doing? You're like, is that Mad Professor, you know, like the Phantom of the Opera sort of, you know, like piece of music that you've written? We've all got to wear capes and a mask.
Look, yes. I think that the organ has such gravity and it lends itself to such mammoth grandeur that you can play three blind mice on that, on any pipe organ, though the one at the Melbourne Town Hall, of course, is particularly special.
Hey, can you play that, though, you know, with all those pedals? Have you learnt to play that or no?
So I'm not real great with the pedals, if I'm honest. It takes a lifetime of dedicated study to have all four quadrants running independently. But at core, it's really just a keyboard instrument.
Yep.
And even beneath that, it's really just another synthesizer. And, you know, between the synthesizers I own and love and know well inside out, really the organ is just the primeval version of that. It's the primal synthesizer where it's kind of trying to emulate a symphony orchestra in its way.
Yep.
And it's a process of building sound. Now, I didn't know anything about pipe organs before this experience, really.
Well, let's pull you up there. How did it come about?
I got a phone call out of the blue.
Really?
From, a fine gentleman named Miles Brown, who curates the program there at Melbourne Town Hall and plucks people at his discretion. And I suppose I checked a few boxes. I'm musical. I'm also very technical. And one of the very special things about the Melbourne pipe organ, because it's so well cared for and maintained, no small task, of course, for a four-story tall instrument with nearly 10,000 pipes in it, just tuning it takes a week. It's had a retrofit installed on it, which lets you drive it very comprehensively digitally. So in my composition, I've used those features extensively. So I am able to operate all of the stops, all of the different keyboards and so on from a computer.
Ah.
So really almost going into territory which a person with two hands and two feet couldn't even perform because I have six parts coming out of the organ at once.
Okay.
So it's been a real learning experience just to, you know, they're normally cloistered and kept away. They're very special and obviously valuable things.
Yeah.
So they don't let anybody just go up and have at them. So it was very flattering when I got the call and was offered the opportunity.
So what's the premise of the piece that you've written for this performance?
So this piece is a celebration of 150 years of the Melbourne Town Hall. It's my birthday song to the Melbourne Town Hall.
No. Song or piece of music?
Well, you could call it a song. It's an hour-long song.
Right. So is there vocals?
No.
Right.
It's a purely instrumental piece of music.
Right. Yep.
And it is myself with a number of synthesizers. And I'll have some very sort of rare and exotic vintage instruments there with me, as well as on the organ. My good friend and bandmate Ben Crook will be playing the drums for the show. and then to add something special just for the theatricality, a very talented visual artist named Mark Pascal will be giving us an awesome laser show right. for the night as well.
And
so it's very much in the symphonic form, I suppose. It's a long form piece.
And the other side of it is it's free.
Dead free.
Wow.
Which makes me so happy. Because, again, you know, it's not every day that you get to go and see a pipe organ. And it's even rarer that anyone would be able to see a contemporary piece performed on one rather than the traditional canon.
Yep.
And I think that the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Free gigs are just my favourite. I think they should be available to anyone. And, of course, it's all ages as well.
Of course. But the one thing you have to do, because of COVID, of course, you have to book a ticket, which is what everyone's doing now with free concerts as well. So obviously you just go to the Melbourne Town Hall website and book a ticket. When's it on?
So it's on this Friday night.
Yep.
Doors open at 7:30.
Yep.
And I've got a fantastic, genius, very talented support act. Her name is Jana Quill, who'll be performing before us, and really looking forward to her show in there as well.
And what is the piece called, by the way? I don't think we've mentioned it once.
No, it's called Ephemera.
Yep.
And the record and digital releases of the album will be released on Saturday, the day after the show.
Wow.
So we will have records for sale at the event as well.
Right.
So there's a chance to get it a day early.
And is there, when you say records, a recording, what about vinyl? Are you doing vinyl?
In fact, it's purely vinyl and digital.
Whoa.
So the vinyl will be there, and it's supremely beautiful.
Right.
I've had hand-painted artwork done by a very talented local artist named Benedict Sibley.
Yeah, okay.
And purple colour disc vinyl. So it's quite a package, and I'm very happy with it.
And has it been made by that new pressing plant that's open here in Melbourne? Or where did you get
it? It has. Yeah, so it's through Program, they're called, and really, really great bunch of people just up the road from me in Thornbury.
Yeah.
So, you know, it couldn't be
more Melbourne
production if we tried. Yeah, I'm really, really happy. And I got to rope in some people I care a great deal about to collaborate with me on it as well.
Fantastic.
My good friend Ben Willis has played percussion on the record as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds absolutely brilliant. And because we were talking to somebody a few months back now about the 150th anniversary and you know, like the booklet that's available and whatever. And this is another little a chapter of it. How brilliant for you. You must be very excited to be part of it.
I'm the happiest kid, I tell you.
Good on you.
Really great thing to be a part of.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks, guys. Really nice to chat.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Sam Gelsey here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.